This episode is brought to you by Netflix. Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Seven-time world champion and modern-day legend Tom Brady, the greatest of all time, finally gets roasted. Hosted by Kevin Hart, Tom Brady gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes.
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Oh, welcome in. Tuesday, September 27th.
Ooh, you see that show number?
1296?
Yeah, closing in on 1300.
Okay. I wasn't sure if you had a special significance for the number 1296.
I was a little confused as well.
You guys aren't down with 1296?
I mean, it is one of my top 1300 favorite numbers.
So, yeah, close to 1300 shows.
That's fun.
Monday night.
Not fun?
Not as fun as 1,300 shows.
I just wasn't sure if we'd get a touchdown at all during the game. We got waivers on the show today, so we'll be welcoming some players into the fold and making some tough, you know, drop decisions because that's the way it works. We don't expand in fantasy football. You don't expand the bench one spot per week throughout the entire year so that you don't have to get rid of somebody. Instead, you have to cut somebody and maybe regret it later. I mean, I was looking back at last year's League of Record, Mike,
with
Jason.
Oh, this one's great.
And I was one of several people with the early season Amon-Ra St. Brown addition subtraction.
Oh, well, I mean, what was it, like week 12?
Yeah, but he had him in like week 9.
Oh, okay. I thought if you had him at the beginning of the year.
No,
I totally get not holding him for 3 months.
No, I think everybody rotated through grabbing him, seeing if he did anything, dropping him.
Yeah, it was really funny because he was showing me basically how good his team was. He was lamenting
his
loss in his championship. He wanted to remember. So he pulled up his lineup and he was like, look at all these guys I have. And I was like, dude, you had Amon-Ra. I didn't even remember you also had Amon-Ra. And he's like, oh, yeah, I dropped him right after this week.
Now, the continuation of that story, which is also excellent, is producer Al Borland had Amon-Ra St. Brown. He picked him up, I presume, after you dropped him.
Oh, correct. That's why he got the championship.
Nope.
He was on my bench.
He was on the bench.
Yeah, would you have rather have picked him up and dropped him, Andy, like you did, or be Al Borland who picked him up and then just didn't have the courage to play him in the playoffs where he certainly would have beaten you and then waltzed into a title?
In that comparison, I'd always rather be me. Yeah.
I choose that side as well.
Yeah, so do I.
So waivers on today's show, some quarterback streaming options. I might be pivoting off of mine based on some injury news today. So we'll talk about that. A reminder, there is a big giveaway right now at footclangiveaway.com. Signed Jalen Waddle, Jalen Hurst, DJ Moore jerseys, a virtual studio tour. It's free to enter at footclangiveaway.com. Circling back to the Monday Night Football game.
It ended up okay.
Yeah, it did.
We got there.
Here's my number one takeaway from this entire game is that Saquon Barkley is very much back to what he was. He is, every single time he took the football out of the backfield on a reception, his burst, it's like that extra gear that, you know, we talk about Dalvin Cook having or Alvin Kamara. Saquon is very much like, I am very upset he scored last night because that was my takeaway in the first and second quarter.
Yep.
And so I was plotting. I mean, I had the graph paper out. I was already building a bunch of trade offers for Saquon Barkley. And then when he went on his long run into the end zone, I felt like I lost that potential.
That is exactly what happened.
Picks into that offer.
I had remade the Austin Eckler for Barkley trade
offer. Oh, you just keep going.
Well, I figured Barkley
what
had the down.
What did you add?
Barkley had the down week.
You had
two,
to add something.
And then at the end, it was
because Austin Eckler had a big week.
No. But I was hoping that I'm with Andy. I was hoping that Barkley had a down week, that he didn't break off a nice touchdown run because he wasn't like dominating yards per carry. He hadn't really done much the beginning of the game. So I was hoping to capitalize on two back-to-back down weeks because Barkley does look back. And now with the injury to Sterling Shepard, the current injury to Wandale Robinson, the lifelong forever going forward injury of Kenny Golladay and his saxophone.
Oh, no.
Current injury to Kadarius Toney. You have to use Saquon Barkley even more in the passing game, at least for the short term.
I think Daniel Bellinger is worth paying attention to.
Sure. Rookie tight end for
rookie
the Giants.
Rookie tight end had four catches last night. I mean, when you're talking about your objective of not getting goosed, I think he's going to be too necessary to the offense to put up 0 points. But
the problem is he's just – what does he get? Two touchdowns on the season?
I don't know.
So Kenny Golladay is running with his broken
sacks. It's
Kyle
Pitts. I mean, Kyle Pitts dreams of two touchdowns.
And Bellinger's out. He's running with that tuba. I mean, he's there. He's open. He's getting yards, but that is...
Here's no juice. Here's a capitalization opportunity for Ezekiel Elliott.
Yeah, what do... Yes.
It's a tough discussion around Zeke because he went 15 for 73, scored the touchdown. Tony Pollard almost had the same amount of carries. He was 13 for 105, had another 46-yard run because he's explosive. And you could say, hey, go cash in on Zeke because this is not the workload you wanted. Despite him running well on the workload, on the work he's getting.
Yes.
Or you could make the rationality now of Dak's on the way back. I mean, there were reports that Dak said he's not going to rule himself out for next week.
Yeah.
So... it could get better on offense, and you know around the goal line, Zeke's going to get more of those opportunities. Dallas, they did win the game 23-16.
So Zeke had the rushing touchdown. Earlier in the matchup, he got two carries right around the five-yard line. Unfortunately, essentially gained no yards there. But, like, goal line-wise, he will be the first guy up. Pollard will still get some work in there because after Zeke failed – two times, and then on third, I believe Pollard came in. But he's the primary goal line guy, and I agree with that, Andy, of once Dak is back and you can get this offense even more high-powered, I mean, they weren't really high-powered last night, but 23 points, okay. He will have touchdown opportunity, but when he doesn't score, you're just getting 12 to 15 carries and probably 60 yards or so, but decent touchdown upside. So, I mean, if you're trying to move Zeke, what exactly are you hoping to move him for? Because you're not trading Zeke without a good other player to move up in the running back rankings. You're making essentially like a lateral move, or you're going to go get a wide receiver.
I think you have to put Zeke together with another player. I mean, you have to shoot for, you know, Zeke and a rookie, one of these rookie wide receivers, and go get a mix in or something. I mean, you have to try to cash in while, I mean, Zeke doesn't get into the end zone last night. We're telling the same old story.
Yeah, or maybe you can try to go get a Breece Hall, someone who hasn't really broken out yet, if you want to, you know, just
that's a good
change
name.
Of scenery.
CeeDee Lamb, 8 for 87 and a touchdown, and yet
could have been much more.
Was very much a CeeDee Lamb type of game where he was really good, but he's also not that great. So
that's well said.
You know, it's the difference between a Jefferson Cup tier of wide receiver, Devontae Adams, Stephon Diggs, and then what CeeDee Lamb has been in the NFL, which is almost good.
On these eight receptions, there were at least three times I can remember where it was basically a one-on-one matchup, and you just all you got to do is break this tackle, juke this guy, and
go up and high point this ball.
And it just he was not
catch this wide open touchdown.
Well, yeah, there was a big bomb wide open drop that I mean he just catches that, and I all mean, of a sudden like, we're having a
two touchdown game, and he's prolific.
To be fair to CeeDee, it hit him like in the inside elbow.
That's right. He put his arm in the wrong spot.
Like, so what do you do with Lamb right now? 33.7% of the targets through the three games, and yet
he'll be fine.
Oh, I know he'll be fine, but I'm saying it was kind of expected that Michael Gallup would at least get some snaps in this game, which that Michael Gallup is close to returning, and will once Michael Gallup is in form. Is CeeDee Lamb getting 33% of the targets, or does that drop down to like 25?
They might go down to 25. They might be better when it's not just CeeDee Lamb out there. I don't think Gallup is going to hurt CeeDee Lamb. He'll hurt Noah Brown and the ancillary pieces far more.
Anything else from this game you guys want to talk about before we move on? I know we want to get into waivers, but we got some news to cover.
No, just the Shepherd injury, sad. But I mean, we covered that of all the wide receivers that should move up. Did you say the name Wandale Robinson?
I did say the name at one point. Wandale Robinson.
I was just saying of the Giants wide receivers, they will get a bump up. I don't believe I'm not picking up Kenny Golladay. I'm not looking at this going, yeah, this is finally it's Kenny Golladay time. It's his opportunity. He's had the opportunity. He has been played off of the field by the likes of Richie James. And Wandale Robinson, of all the wide receivers on this team, Wandale is the handpicked one by this staff, who unfortunately had the knee injury. So, Kyle, while we're moving through the waivers, see if we can get get an injury update on Wandale.
News and notes from around the league, presented by USAA Insurance.
Correction on what I said about Dak. I guess week 5 is the game he said he might be able to start.
Okay, there we go.
Not week 4. But had the stitches removed from his thumb surgery. Could come back as soon as week 5.
Yeah. Could.
Yeah, I don't. I'm not going to make the Russell Wilson comparison because it's a one-off, right? We don't know how every different player handles this injury. You don't know how much is mental, right? You come back with a physical injury and then you make bad mental decisions based on how you feel. So I think Dak is going to just have to be evaluated on his own independent situation.
Yeah, you don't have to compare him to the Russell Wilson injury of last year, but the Russell Wilson injury does, at the very least, make me not start Dak week 1 that he's back. It will give me pause. I want to see how he plays afterwards. I'm not going to say, well, after that injury, he'll never be good again forever, right? Like what has happened with Russell Wilson.
His thumb's still bothering him in Denver. One's talked about that.
Yeah, it's just like they fixed that hand wrong.
Are you in a single quarterback league if Dak is on the waiver wire?
I'd pick him up.
And your starter is like Carr or Russell, the terrible Russell Wilson. Are you going to pick up Dak and stash him?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Lions wide receiver Amon-Ra St. Brown underwent tests on his injured ankle on Monday. Results were, quote, encouraging, according to Tom Pelissero. The team will be cautious.
Yeah, I mean, it's great that it's not long-term, but it does seem like he could
miss a game.
Yeah, and so that's like, is that really great news?
Well, and the problem is you're already going to be down DeAndre Swift now.
Yeah.
So this offense is going to be down likely their best two players. These are the best two offensive players they have.
Hercules.
Are you shining that turd up, Jay?
Oh, man. They said you can't shine a turd. They were wrong. They're probably right.
Yeah.
But I'm going to try.
Start of the week on the way?
Start of the week, TJ Hawkinson for sure.
Mac Jones, severe ankle sprain. The quote was kind of funny because it says that would cause many to have surgery, but he apparently is not one of the many.
He's likely
to miss multiple games.
What What is that throwing?
I have many leather-bound books. I mean, like,
Mac Jones, make sure you tell them. Make sure you tell them how tough I am.
A lot of people have surgery on this. I'm not having surgery.
Not me.
But, Mac, you need surgery.
No. No.
Tell them I need it, and I'm not getting it. But give me that cigar.
But you don't need the surgery, Mac.
Yeah, but a lot of people do.
A lot of people need this surgery.
What if I did need surgery, and I said no?
Doctor, pass.
You're not passing on anything, Mac.
Or am I?
He will be missing.
Poor Mac Jones. This is just all.
Yeah, it's really not fair.
This is not the direct quotes that we're finding here.
This poor guy got seriously hurt, and we're mocking him.
We're not mocking him.
We're mocking the fake situation of why they would say.
This should not have been reported that way.
No, it should not have.
I'm throwing that thing in all the time.
Yes, for sure.
The next time I get any injury, illness. A lot of people, they would have gotten a surgery for this, but not me.
I don't know if you know this. A lot of people leave the stitches in. Dak was like, not me.
Yeah.
Get these out. Mac Jones will miss time. That means that we'll talk about it in the waiver section, but the Packers defense, a strong play against, you know, obviously the backup quarterback, and their schedule over the next several weeks is juicy.
The Chargers are injured yet again. Rashawn Slater, we mentioned it on yesterday's show. He is now out for the season. Left tackle for Justin Herbert. Jalen Guyton tore his ACL, out for the year. Keenan Allen, this is where you're hopeful that he comes back because he's going to practice this week. We thought he'd play last week. He didn't. But it's good for his injury, right? He gets another week to recover.
Kyle, what's the status of the center? Is he out a couple of weeks?
Corey Lindsley?
Yeah.
We'll look it up.
Okay.
I'll say this. Keenan's had he'll have 17 days off, right? Because he was a Thursday night injury. Maybe I'm wrong about that. I don't remember now. Did he have an extra amount of time?
He was injured in week one.
Right. Okay. Scrape that from the record. I don't remember how many days he's been since he's been hurt.
A lot of people would have had surgery, though.
Right.
But not Keenan.
Bone bruise for A.J. Green. He's going to be kept out at least a week.
Thank goodness.
Just
to heal up.
No, I'm saying, man.
Thank goodness they're going to help him heal. I'm just thankful that he's not playing on a bone bruise.
There we go.
That's what I'm saying.
Joe Mixon should be good to go for Thursday night football.
And this, Kyle, he said there's really nothing out there on the Wandale Robinson injury news. Seems like they're being super secretive. He did not practice at all last week.
There had been some reports. I had read that they were optimistic he would be back sooner than later.
Their beat reporters basically said they don't have anything right now, though.
All right. Okay.
That was today's news and notes brought to you by USAA Insurance. Learn more at usaa.com/insurance.
Welcome to the fold, presented by Samsung Galaxy.
All right, week three in the books. Turning to the future. If you are out there and you have suffered injuries, dud performances, some of the players that you took flyers on, I mean, there are a number of players from this past draft season that were just wrong. We were just wrong about them. You made a wrong call. We made a wrong call. Cole Kmet comes to mind, right? Players you had optimism about, but you had to see it on the field, and it didn't materialize, and now you got to pivot.
What are you talking about? He had 25% of the Bears' receptions.
Okay. Stats.
He had two catches.
But we've got to turn the page. We've got to pick up some more players with promise, and you're searching for that next Amon-Ra St. Brown, who Kyle pointed out had, I think, 5.2 points for the first 12 weeks.
5.2 per game for the first 12 weeks.
Yeah, and then turned into a league winner. So you're eyeballing some of those players, and then you're eyeballing short-term fixes, right? Players you can start this week. So let's welcome some wide receivers into the fold. Let's look at the likely rostered category, which is the Tennessee Titans wide receiver room. Treylon Burks, I think, will hit waiver wires this week. That's one thing I'm going to say. He only had a couple of targets, one catch, one rush, yet his snap count is going up. So there's kind of a It didn't go his way. Derrick Henry was very successful. Treylon Burks, I think.
Yeah, he was tackled on the one. He had a boss catch and almost got into the end zone. He crosses that plane, and he's not dropped.
I think he's going to be dropped by a lot of people.
I agree.
And if he is, scoop him up. Waiver day, this is about adding players. Once those run, make sure you inspect each player that was actually dropped. Because if Burks is dropped, his time is coming. I don't think he'll be a superstar next week or even 2 weeks from now, but he's someone who you should be stashing because the arrow is pointing up.
I would agree. Now let's compare him to a fellow rookie wide receiver who is probably on waivers and say, who would you rather have between Treylon Burks, his upside, versus Romeo Doubs, who has been more involved, had a very good week this last week, had the successful training camp preseason hype versus what we saw with Treylon Burks. Who would you want between those two if they were both sitting there on waivers?
Man, go ahead, Andy.
No, I think it's Doubs.
I think it's Doubs too.
And you're just looking at there's a kind of a long way to go for Treylon Burks still, I think, to get the kind of targets. You're getting the ball from Ryan Tannehill. Doubs is getting it from Aaron Rodgers. Watkins is out for a while. And Christian Watson, you know, he's been hurt multiple times, so he can't get into the flow of things. You notice when he was out there, it was really design touches. It was screen game, end arounds. He had the bomb that he didn't catch, but he's not heavily involved. So right now, you know, you talk about trust. How do you build trust with Aaron Rodgers? How about you catch all 8 of the passes thrown your way? You know, all the targets turned into receptions. I think Romeo Doubs is the better pickup. But that doesn't mean that, like, he seems more necessary right now, and I don't know what 3 or 4 weeks from now will look like. Tunyon's been getting into the fold. Watkins will come back. Watson will come back.
Yeah, when I look at those two rookie wide receivers, I see Doubs as a better pickup and play now. If you are in need of help, Doubs is on the field. He's getting the targets. I think he'll have more volume, more success. But the talent gap, Doubs is good, but Treylon Burks, there's a reason why he was drafted where he was drafted. And when he gets his opportunity, which I do think will come, his ceiling is higher to me than Doubs.
So I also think he's going to score more.
If I was putting one of these guys on my bench as a stash for the big blow up, I would prefer Burks to Doubs.
I'd still go with Doubs of the immediacy of, like, if Doubs has another good game, people will be bought in.
So how much?
That's all it would take.
So based on what's the likelihood of that happening and how much are you spending of your fab budget? Like, would you blow your first priority spot on it, and how much fab?
Yeah, if I had the number one priority, I would be willing to. I mean, we'll talk about these running backs and decide if you need that position and they're available. But he's my number one pickup of the week. And if you're in fab, I mean, I'd go mid 30%. I'm even willing to go into the 40s. Because again, the combination of what he did in the preseason and the training camp with proof of concept that maybe he is, in fact, that good. And one more good game from Romeo Doubs, and he'll be locked in as a starter.
Do you agree with that percentage, Mike? Jason?
Yeah, I think if you're going to go after a rookie wide receiver who's shown flashes, has Aaron Rodgers, you're going to have to spend up. The only fear I have is that as the season goes along, you could have Christian Watson get more and more involved and kind of split the action with Doubs. That's why I have Burks higher from a standpoint of, like, if Burks gets on the field, I think his target share, his percentage of the offense would be significantly higher.
All right, let me throw some more names out here. Very low rostered players that I think won't end up that way in a couple of weeks, right? Zay Jones. Mm-hmm. Zay Jones has a higher target per route run over the first 3 weeks than Christian Kirk even has. He went 10 for 85 and a touchdown, Jacksonville wide receiver Zay Jones, and really seems to have a rapport with Trevor Lawrence. I mean, that's what's coming through when you watch these football games.
He was 6 for 65 in week 1 on 9 targets. He was one of the guys we were really keeping an eye on in week 2, and unfortunately he had kind of a down week in week 2, but bounced right back, double-digit targets again. he is clearly involved. And Trevor Lawrence looks good. The Jacksonville Jaguars are riding high. I think he would be someone that absolutely needs to be picked up and stashed. And you can play him in the meantime.
Greg Dortch, Arizona wide receiver, 10 more targets, 9 for 90. And when you watch the football game, without question, he's the next best wide receiver on the team behind Hollywood Brown.
And you know, a lot was made about Dobbs' preseason. Dortch was the same for the Cardinals. He was involved in everything. He was the talk of the town here in Arizona. And nobody cares because he's not a rookie. He's not a highly drafted, you know, great talent. But he is an integral part of the offense. A.J. Green is going to miss time. If Rondale doesn't get back this week, Dortch is probably one of the better pick up two plays. Like, I don't think he has long-term success at all. Hopkins will be back. Rondale Moore will be back. The Dortch is not ever going to be able to solidify his role as, like, locked and loaded starter with near double-digit targets. But this week, absolutely.
Carolina on the road. That's where Arizona's headed. And they've been, I think they're 10-1 on the road in their last 11 games. So they are one-point underdogs, 1.5.
1.5.
So Zay Jones, Greg Dortch, Matt Collins had the huge game.
Yeah, do we buy in?
It was without Hunter Renfrow.
Yeah, if Renfrow comes back, then I'm not going to start Matt Collins on the back of that, no.
And this week it's against Denver, and say whatever you want about how they've looked as a team, but their defense has been great. So I don't feel like I want to chase Matt Collins.
Well, here's the thing for Matt Collins, because it feels like it's a one-week wonder. But, I mean, you can't discount what he did. That was a sensational game. But week two against Arizona, he had 8 targets, and he caught 5 of them for 66 yards. And in that game, Hunter Renfrow was active the entire game.
Yeah.
So it's – Matt Collins is – I agree with you guys. I'm not going out of control here for Matt Collins, but I think there is something that if you're in a deeper league, that Matt Collins should be picked up.
The hard part is that on a weekly basis, if you're going to handicap targets for the team, he's always going to come in fourth. You're never going to anticipate he gets more than Waller, more than Adams, and more than Renfrow. So that's the challenge. But you're right. He's been involved. This was a big week. Again, it's a career week. It was a career high in receiving yards.
I would rather go after Isaiah McKenzie than Matt Collins. You go from one of the largest guys to one of the smallest guys, but give me the one catching passes from Josh Allen. He had 9 targets, 7 receptions for 76 and a touchdown this last week. He's had plenty of flashes on the field when given the opportunity. The problem is he's still splitting.
Yeah, what were his snaps?
51% of snaps last week, so he's really splitting with Crowder. But if you're talking about, you know, just a chance at a touchdown or you know, a big – like this week against the Baltimore Ravens, I don't know what the over-under is. Can you look that at 72?
I thought it was 50.
51.5.
50,000 and a half. I mean, that's going to be one of those games where you just want pieces of. McKenzie could, you know, easily have a strong game this week.
DJ Chark might have hit the waiver wire after a week two goose, but should be the primary outside receiver for the Lions, who are missing pass catcher DeAndre Swift.
Yeah.
And if Amon Ra misses, which is not a guarantee yet, we'll keep you posted.
He's insurance. Like, should later on in the week you find out Amon Ra is going to miss and you need a – you're like, oh, man, I need some nitro. I need a flex player. DJ Chark would come
into
play.
And they play Seattle. So I even think Josh Reynolds in, like, DFS formats will be interesting. Russell Gage had 13 targets. We'll see. You know, I don't think you chase that.
No.
Because
Mike Evans is back.
Yeah. I mean, he would be a spot start in an emergency because, you know, Godwin, I don't think we expect to be back out there, do we?
It doesn't seem like he's ready yet. It is a matchup against Kansas City, so you expect points going up. You could do worse than Russell Gage, but you can't expect, you know, last week 12 targets, 12 receptions. You're not getting that again.
I mean, are you going after Gage or are you going after McKenzie or Dortch?
So if I needed a spot start this week, I'm more confident in the Dortch.
I would go Dortch, then McKenzie, then Gage.
Okay.
Drop candidates for some of these names. Darnell Mooney?
Yeah, he's punted off the bridge.
Wait, but what's his target share?
It's huge, man. Hold I think on, he had I'm like gonna... a 30% target. If you get any targets in the game,
it's always 33% if you get targets in the game.
Yeah, but it's 33% of a microscopic pot.
I mean, he got six targets, guys.
Oh, that's so. Was that all of them? Did he have 100% of the targets?
I got to find the percentage. Hold on.
DJ Moore.
25%.
DJ Moore, I am happy to cut.
I am not happy to
cut. Wow, you're going to cut him?
I would not cut DJ Moore. We have a long, long history of him disappearing for many games on end. Now, I will say this. The hope, the upside of being breakout, that's done. That's gone. Six targets week one, week two, week three. That's the mark of the beast.
It's funny, though, because you said we have a long, long history of him disappearing for weeks at a time.
And then,
that would be one of the characteristics of players I don't want.
But then he appears.
But then he blows up.
It's but not on just your bench.
Sure.
Set
I mean,
the trap for someone else.
You could, or you could set the trap for yourself and have him picked up and go off against you. You know, if you look at routes run, snap percentages, he's basically at 100%. Talent. I just don't drop talented wide receivers in their prime just because they're in a bad slump. That I get it. If you
Would you? What if you need to win? Would you drop him for and start Greg Dortch? Would you drop him and start?
I would not start Greg
DJ
Dortch
Chark
over DJ Moore.
Man, okay, all right. I would if I needed to win. I would make that decision.
That's a very very difficult opportunity.
But I get it.
Talent.
Same game.
What percentage of his targets are coming from Baker Mayfield?
100%.
That's too high for me.
That is
the
problem.
That is the. Hold on to your butts. What if the silver lining is, in a couple weeks, Sam Darnold could be back for
that's
the Carolina
happening.
Panthers?
No, it's not happening. They're not starting Darnold. No, they still talk about Baker. I mean, they're 2-1. They're not starting Darnold. Baker is.
Are they really?
Yes.
Yeah, that's
they're 2-1.
To me.
They're the Giants of that division,
and they barely lost to the Browns.
Yeah, and they talk about Baker for next year already. So
wow.
They would rather go. I mean, think him, about it. They'd rather go Baker Mayfield
weeks.
Than Sam Darnold.
Yeah, give him 3 weeks.
Can we get some kind of week start water bet on DJ Moore versus the Dortch? Same game. That'd just be fun to watch and root for.
Okay.
All right.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
Water bet.
I love the Dortch. You hate the Dortch. Allen Robinson. Would you drop Allen Robinson or Elijah Moore?
I would not drop Elijah Moore. You have a similar situation with we've heard Zach Wilson could be back. And that's a change of scenery.
They're 1-2. Carolina's 1-2.
Ah,
1-2. They lost to the Browns and
that's
Giants.
Why it didn't sound right to us, Jay.
It also, it makes more sense.
Oh, it makes way more sense
based on what I've seen. But they won last week. Then
big win,
big win.
Sam Darnold's coming back
undefeated over the last game.
So for Elijah Moore, right now, you know, like the targets are being split up with Joe Flacco's tendencies. Once Zach Wilson is in here, it's going to be way different because we know. At least last year when we saw Zach Wilson, like those running back targets will probably evaporate compared to what Flacco is doing right now. And those the insane target share that Garrett Wilson has right now, there is a chance that it siphons more evenly to Elijah Moore. There's a chance that it swings the other direction for Elijah Moore. He's a very, very good player.
Preseason, the case against Elijah Moore was the Zach Wilson because Flacco is the one that threw him the ball. Last year during the game, and we were very concerned about Zach Wilson and Elijah Moore.
No, I totally get it. I'm not saying I'm projecting that's what's going to happen. I'm saying Elijah Moore is a very talented player, and I would ride that out and see what happens with the change first.
Who was it last week, Jason, that you brought up as in that scenario of just
it was
sticking with talent?
It was DeVonta Smith after week one he had a goose and A.J. Brown looked like he had everything. But you said this is a really, really good NFL wide receiver. He didn't have a good game. Justin Jefferson just had 14 yards.
He
cut him. You know, you don't do you got to stick with talented wide receivers. Elijah Moore is a talented wide receiver. Put him on your team. The question of Allen Robinson.
That's much harder.
It is much more difficult. Allen Robinson, DJ Moore, these guys that have big names, I'm always like I don't want to cut them. I want to trade them. I want to use them as a third piece, just fodder in a trade that will push, you know, the name value in a trade to get something done because they don't provide you any value when you cut them. Would I cut Allen Robinson if Burks or Dobbs was on the waivers and that was my only player I could cut, sure. But I'm not going to cut Allen Robinson to cut him and pick up, you know, Greg Dortch for a weekly start. I can't do that. Allen Robinson was fingertips away from a touchdown this last week, and then you just view
one
him
one whistle away from a touchdown 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
I would prefer him with three touchdowns right now versus
yeah.
one.
The targets are the scary thing. He's capped right now. Yeah. Five targets is the most he's had.
Yeah. Yeah, that's been a problem. Okay, quick break, and then we'll be back with the running backs. Hey, Foot Clan, this episode is brought to you by BetterHelp. Take a minute to check your social battery. How is it doing? Does the thought of social events make you feel excited or exhausted? Maybe sometimes those events make you feel drained. Maybe they make you feel like you're bursting with energy like Papa Josh. But you might not know why it's at that level. Maybe it's not enough boundaries set up and you're just doing too much. Maybe you get less social in different times of the year or you're working too much. It can be easy to ignore our social battery and spread ourselves too thin. Look, we live in the era of hurry, hurry, hurry. And social gatherings, they pick up and then you are burnt out. So you got to figure it out, and therapy can help you figure out that self-awareness to build a social life that doesn't drain your battery so you can enjoy it. And when you are feeling worn out from socializing, therapy can help give you the tools you need to recharge and take care of yourself. I highly recommend that. All you have to do is give BetterHelp a try. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist. You can switch them at a moment's notice. There's no extra charge for switching therapists if you didn't find the right one. And you can find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/footballers today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp. HELP.com/footballers.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's bachelorette bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
All right, let's dive in. Check out some running backs we want to welcome into the fold here. The main waiver wire pickup of the week. Well, there's two. There's two, but yeah. I honestly, I think Jamal Williams is the priority.
I would agree.
Because Khalil Herbert had the big game, and those are the two big names, Jamal Williams and Khalil Herbert. But Jamal Williams' path is very, very clear right now. He is going to be the featured back for Detroit while DeAndre Swift is out, and all the things we're hearing is through the bye for DeAndre Swift.
And not only that, but when he comes back, is he 100%? Is he splitting more in a 50-50 timeshare? While he was healthy, Jay Willie was the goal line back. They pull Swift out and they put Jay Willie in. Week one, two touchdowns, and that was with a fully healthy, great playing Swift.
Yeah.
So right now you've got a bona fide stud fantasy start while Swift is gone for a couple of weeks. When he comes back, you don't go to nothing. Khalil Herbert, maybe he plays his way into more of a timeshare, but we saw this last year.
No, he didn't.
Last year, he was amazing when he was given his opportunity. Everyone was afraid, David Montgomery's not going to come back into his workload. And then David Montgomery came right back into his workload. So I would certainly, those two guys, heck yeah, if they are available in any of your leagues, you got to check everywhere. You got to bring those guys into the fold for sure.
Yes.
And high priority. Tons of fab. Those two players are worth it.
What's tons of fab? 50%?
No, 55.
55!
Especially for Jamal, knowing that you'll have a couple weeks here of him being the guy.
Here's what I'll say, and this is the nuance of fantasy, right? If your roster needs a running back, then I'm on board with the 50%+. If you have a pretty good running back room, I'm not trying to jackknife Jamal Williams into my lineup, because there will be, like, Craig Reynolds came in and he was the Khalil Herbert of the Lions last year. He came in and dominated.
Yeah, when Swift was out, there was three games where Reynolds had 13, 27, 15 opportunities.
Reynolds should also be picked up right now. And the nice thing is he will – You might not even need to burn any priority or any fab.
You would pick him up.
I would pick him up to see what happens while Swift is gone.
Okay. Because you might play him the following week or something?
Yes. Well, it's just to see.
I was just trying to figure out what that would – because you're not starting him.
You're not starting him this week, but you want to see what the split is
exactly.
like.
Exactly.
And he's also in a situation where should anything happen to Jamal Williams, he would be forced to be the 100% dude.
Yeah. Jamal Williams, love him, love the talent of the player. But I think that it will still be a timeshare.
Does
Craig Reynolds get 12 opportunities a week while Swift is out?
That's why I said I wouldn't spend up if I had a running back room I was even moderately content with. I don't think that I go as far as the word you said, stud, a bona fide stud. I don't think that's what Jamal Williams is. I think he's a bona fide start for these weeks, but I don't think he's a stud that I would spend my fab on. If I had other players that, if I had to decide, I got Devin Singletary as a running back too in one of my leagues. Now, would I rather start Jamal Williams with Swift out? Probably. But I'm not spending 55% of my fab on that for a 2-week rental.
Right. If you have a good, solid running back room, still make a bid on him. Still. You don't have to drop your cash.
Yeah, I'm talking, you go 20-25% then.
But even if he's not going to crack the starting roster, to have someone like that on your bench is very valuable.
Yeah. I wasn't saying don't get him.
No. Yeah, okay. I was just clarifying that. But let's say Khalil Herbert, Jamal Williams, those guys, they are rostered in at least half of your leagues, so they're probably unavailable. I checked all of my leagues.
I did too. They're all taken.
They're all taken.
Can I mention, though, for Herbert, there isn't yet a guarantee he's the starter for this upcoming week, which makes it trepidatious to invest a huge amount of fab on him. Now, you know, the value of him as an insurance running back goes up because you know Montgomery's been dealing with injuries, right? So whether Montgomery comes back or not, he's a higher value insurance back compared to what he was before.
And I think you could probably trade him for quite a bit to the David Montgomery manager.
Sure.
He holds extreme value to that manager, and honestly, if I was the David Montgomery manager, I'm willing to trade quite a bit to get him. It locks up a running back spot for your team.
Other options here, you know, Madison is a name that's getting thrown out there, but Dalvin Cook I think is going to play, so you know, this is another tough one, right, where the value to the Dalvin Cook manager is extremely high. The value to your team this week might be nothing, but there's re-injury risk. So for Madison, I'm looking myself, I'd be looking at maybe 10% of fab.
Sure.
Probably losing out to the Dalvin manager.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, he should be rostered in all leagues anyways just because of the injury history to Cook, regardless of the current shoulder problem. The current shoulder problem will just pretty much jack up the prices.
Are there no running back pickups that exist outside of an injury universe right now? Because
correct.
Williams, Herbert, Madison, Perine with the Mixon injury is Mixon should be back for Thursday night, but you pay attention to that. Algier, really just a insurance back in Atlanta. I mean, nobody is out there just waiting as a tantalizing third down back. We have nothing.
McKissick is he probably is rostered, but someone like a J.D. McKissick, who was very involved in the passing game this last week, if you need to pick someone up to start them, you obviously can't pick up Jaylen Warren, the running back backup for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
I caught him red-handed. I think I just stopped the little McKissick drop.
Oh.
A moment. The eye contact stopped it.
This is like Boo, the ghost from Mario.
You look at him, and he can't do it.
That's true.
He's never initiated the drop while you make eye contact.
He freezes and covers his face.
That's right.
By the way, Foot Clan, we do have we're getting oh so close with the Deucer cam. But we're men of high standards. So we are setting forth, you know, a goal of getting this to you as soon as possible. We just have to polish up asking the Deucers to work out a little bit.
We gotta find the right doctor who can, you know,
fix a few things.
The makeup to match the flesh tones that are very, I mean, to be honest, guys, you have some unique tones back there.
It's really the bone structure.
That's the,
for the
well,
three
can't,
of them.
That's something you really can't
and the,
fix.
And the teeth, you know, are going to take just so much work.
Are y'all British?
Take that, Brits.
Don't we have a British game, a London game this week?
Yes, we do.
Is that London or is that Germany?
It's London.
Minnesota and New Orleans.
Yeah, 6:30 a.m. Mike's going to be live at 3:30 a.m. to help you out.
Set your alarms. Just be on the YouTube. I promise I will be there.
I hope one person's there waiting for you. I hope just one. The biggest Mike Wright fan in the world.
Oh, okay. Well, now you can make me feel bad. Don't do that. Don't do that. I will not be on at 3:30 in the morning.
Okay. So that's a lay of the land at the running back situation. Hopefully you got him on your team already. Tight end options. I really like.
There you go.
I like David Njoku because the athleticism matches the need in this offense. You hope that they unlocked a little bit of like a plan here.
Hope.
I don't think that's what happened, if I'm being honest. I think what happened was they unlocked Pittsburgh for a portion of the game where the interior of that defense was the place to target. 9 for 89 and a touchdown could very well be Njoku's best game of the season, but you still want, this is why the offseason promise for Njoku was there.
You chase it.
It's very similar to me to Irv Smith. Like Njoku and Irv Smith, athletic, can make a big play, right? You're not talking about a short area.
Bellinger?
Yeah, or Dennis Pitta style. You're looking at the one hip quitta. You're looking at
a good callback.
Njoku and Irv Smith as athletic options.
Yes. That being said, Njoku looks like a good play this week.
Atlanta,
they've given up the second most fantasy points to the tight end position so far. Based on the targets, he already had the snap percentage, the routes run, everything behind the scenes was going well. The targets just weren't going his way. Now, after such a successful game for Cleveland, again, like you said, you hope it was unlocked and they go, oh, yeah, maybe let's use him more. He's looking great. I would be willing to pick him up and start him over plenty of other options that people are toiling through right now. You know, if you're still trying to start Dawson Knox, I would throw David Njoku in there.
I agree. If you are still in the Schultz situation, you went Ingram in one of your leagues, I'd start him over Ingram, right?
Yep.
I'd start him over Irv Smith.
Yep. Yeah. So
he's a good option, is what we're saying, in the world of tight ends.
Yeah. He is a bottom-end tight end one right now as far as who you would start.
What about Conklin, though? The most routes run amongst the tight end position. Would you look to Conklin over Njoku?
Not over Njoku. I don't know how to.
What about under Njoku?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
He's been pretty good every week, and I just can't get myself to pull the trigger.
Yeah.
And they went out and pursued Tyler Conklin, right? Like he was a free agent acquisition, brought in and given a game plan.
Uzama was also sought after by the Jets. He was back this weekend, didn't play a ton, so maybe he's just recovering from the injury. And there are too many variables with Conklin that would have me pick him up over Njoku. And
quarterback?
I mean, the quarterback change, Uzama getting back to full strength, and he's the route king right now. He's run the most routes at the tight end position because the Jets have been getting their faces smashed in on the football field. Yeah, I mean, they're not a great team, so perhaps that continues, but right now this is completely volume where David Njoku, if he hits, if they realize, hey, we gave this guy a bunch of money and he's a superstar out there, he can become a weekly starter, just locked it in, where Conklin, I think, is going to have real ebbs and flows.
Yeah, I mean, David Njoku is really the only main pickup and start tight end that exists this week. I wouldn't start Conklin. Another pickup and stash that I think is good is Robert Tonyan.
Oh, yeah. Yep. His breakout game's coming.
His snap percentage, keep in mind, he's working his way back from the ACL. His snap percentage week one was 36%, 40% week two, 58% this last week with 7 targets. So he is working his way back into – so he should be picked up, but I'm not going to start him.
I think I would pick up Tonyan for the long term over Njoku.
Over Njoku?
I think I would, yeah.
You see how high my voice went?
Yeah.
I heard it. I didn't see it.
I think that when you look at the Brissett versus Aaron Rodgers, the trust that Rodgers – we're talking about trust, right, with these receivers. I think Tonyan's breakout game is coming very, very soon. He'll get into the end zone, and we'll be sitting here on the show and I'll have an Njoku-like line. And I think longer term, I just trust it more. I trust it more than Njoku, because Njoku's had a long history of flashing and disappointing. And then Brissett, I mean, it's just a tough situation to count on. So I lean Tonyan. He's cheaper on the waiver wire. I think now's the time to get him.
I agree that now is the time to get him, and he is far more affordable. I want to start Njoku this week. I don't want to start Tonyan, so that's where I'm at. Rest of season, sure. I mean, the argument of Aaron Rodgers over Jacoby Brissett is an easy one.
All right, and then defensive options this week. Who are we welcoming into the fold?
The Packers are my favorite. I mean, just because this week against the New England Patriots, you don't have Mac Jones, so they're going to be going to a backup. Then you've got the schedule after that is very nice. You've got the Giants. Then you've got the Jets.
Sure.
Then you've got the Manders. So you got a month of being able to play them.
I'd drop a fiver at least on the Packers, because it stops you from chipping away just, you know, 1-2 fab at it for every week. Just get a premium run here. That's a really strong four-game stretch.
You also get the final week of the Browns three-game stretch that we were interested in. They face Atlanta this week. The Bears and Giants face each other, so you can pick which of those defenses you would want to start. I like the Giants
I would
more.
Go with the Giants.
Yeah.
The Eagles as well. They're playing Jacksonville, and Jacksonville looked great. I mean, they just crushed the Chargers, but the reason that the Eagles should be picked up is because they're a really good defense.
Yeah, I would say they're just kind of in that category now of the every week start at the defense, because they may give up some points, but they're going to also make plays, right? They sack the quarterback, turnovers, those type
Second
of things.
Second most sacks in the NFL.
Well, there you go. Man, but that was Daniel Jones running around last night or what?
Dude, I mean,
what, did DeMarcus Lawrence have 3 sacks?
It's something like
that. I also really wish Chandler Parsons was on our hometown team. He's unbelievable. He's the best defensive player in football, I think.
Daniel Jones,
Chandler Parsons?
You said Chandler, the basketball player.
Oh, yeah, Micah Parsons. Yeah.
Micah Parsons.
Okay. Wow, that's going into the archives. Played
really
for Dallas, right?
Yeah. I think
that's what I don't know this guy.
Chandler Bing.
And then when you said he might be the best in the NFL, I'm like, oh, Micah. That's who he
Yeah, sorry.
Yeah, Daniel Jones was doing his best in that game. They were not helping him.
Yeah, he can still run the football.
Yes, again.
All right, that was Welcome to the Fold, presented by Samsung Galaxy, with multitasking on Galaxy Z Fold 4. You can view available players on the waiver wire, check player rankings, and watch highlights all at once. Visit Samsung.com to learn more.
Full stream ahead.
For what it's worth, Chandler Parsons did make the switch from the NBA to pickleball.
Oh.
I don't know if you knew that.
I did not.
Football's probably next. That's the series that you got.
Yeah, he could be one of the best with the last name.
Saw the Gronk video playing the pickleball as well.
Oh, he looked bad.
He looks mighty flaily.
Yeah, there's some amateur pickleball right there. All right, full stream ahead. We are looking at streaming quarterback options. If you're desperate and you need somebody that has a good matchup and a good situation, I'm going to give you two names. Jared Goff against Seattle, with the hope that Amon-Ra St. Brown is back. Goff has 7 touchdown passes through 3 games, 5 of those inside the red zone. Your explosive plays at the running back position are going to go down without DeAndre Swift. I think they are going to be dependent on the passing game, and Seattle is not a frightening matchup. And then I will also say Jameis Winston's name. If you're uncomfortable with Goff without Amon-Ra St. Brown,
sure.
Winston has a good matchup, and Chris Olave is just a bomb touchdown waiting to happen on every single play. So those are a couple of names that I'll throw out.
I will throw out a couple of names as well then. This one will maybe surprise you, but I think he is a fine stream this week. Cooper Rush, he is home against the Manders. He has gotten no respect, but he's 3-0 in his career as a starter for the Cowboys.
Good stat.
2-0 this year, but he's actually been solid. He's completing 65% of his passes, and he's not just dinking and dunking, 7.3 yards per attempt, which is tied for 10th, right behind Josh Allen, tied with Jameis. Washington is allowing the fifth most quarterback fantasy points through 3 weeks. At home, I think he's going to be fine. And honestly, even yesterday's game, it was fine for fantasy. Should have been pretty good if CeeDee Lamb just catches the pass. That
can we throw in Jalen Tolbert not catching that sideline pass as well?
Yeah, yes. I mean, it,
he was throwing some dimes.
Cooper Rush is not a bad quarterback, so I think you could throw him out there at home versus the Manders. The other one I was going to throw out is Matt Ryan. Matt Ryan has a very good matchup.
Oh, man.
I know.
Oh,
I know. That one's scary. That's my official streamer this week is Cooper Rush, but Matt Ryan is...
Matt Ryan.
I love that you'd rather not be embarrassed by making Matt Ryan your official one because Cooper Rush is locked in.
That's right.
You don't want people to think you might start Matt Ryan over Cooper Rush.
That is correct.
Yeah, it's the right call. My streamer this week, I'll go with Marcus Mariota at home. Atlanta Falcons taking on the Cleveland Browns. Mariota, currently the quarterback 13 through 3 weeks because look, he runs. He is averaging 8 rushing attempts and over 30 rushing yards per game. This gives you a nice little floor, a nice little baseline. And the Cleveland Browns, they are not scary. So, for example, you can look at our Stream Finder tool, which is a tool available for supporters of the podcast at jointhefoot.com. But Cleveland is allowing 20-plus fantasy points per game to the quarterback, including a QB6 finish from Joe Flacco.
Let me ask the question that's going to get passed around on Twitter. Any of those names over Russell Wilson?
Here's the hardest part for Russ this week.
Yeah, I know.
Is he plays the Raiders. And the Raiders through 3 weeks have been a delightful matchup for fantasy quarterbacks.
I think I'd play Russ over those
names. I think I would, too.
I would play Marcus Mariota over Russ, but then Russ over the others.
Against the Browns?
Yeah, Marcus Mariota is...
The Browns are... Yeah, and which we didn't mention. Do we have a Myles Garrett update? So, Myles Garrett was in a car accident yesterday. He went to the hospital, and we need an update on that situation. So
I was not aware of that.
Oh, yeah. That it kind of broke, like, during the game.
Sure enough.
So, that's a situation to monitor. We hope that he's all right.
His car flipped multiple times.
Yeah, it was a serious wreck. So, we could be looking at Myles Garrett missing some time.
Minor injuries is what they're saying right now, but we don't know. Yeah, that's and they didn't have Jadeveon Clowney was out last week,
correct.
So might not be so bad for Mariota. I don't remember if we said it at the top, but Sterling Shepard.
It was confirmed though, right, guys?
Torn ACL.
Yes. Dang man, crazy.
So sad. So sad. That guy is awesome. And gone through some serious, serious injuries. So you could see how well-respected he is with the amount of people that came over to that cart from both sides of the ball. So, hopefully he can get well soon.
Yep.
Regardless of his football status, just physically being all right. Anything else to cover here, guys? Anything else you guys have? All right, good luck on the waiver wires, Foot Clan. Check out the community at jointhefoot.com.
Don't forget about our giveaway, footclangiveaway.com. It's a good one.
See you later.
Make
goodbye.
Sure get those waiver
farewell.
Bids. And everybody, see you tomorrow. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.